Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, welcome back. Again, this is Larry McEntee with Home Team Inspection Service on the Hunterdon County Ranger Chamber Network today. Let's talk, just to wrap up a little bit about our review of our show so far. We've had six shows like there, and one we had was Mike Aceto from CSI Septic. And one of the biggest things that take apart a house sale, tell you the truth, is a septic tank, and because it scares people because they don't understand what it is, even though it's a very basic system. It's a basic necessity. You can imagine you need it because the stuff has to go somewhere when it leaves your house. And he reviewed about how it's a septic tank, a holding tank, and how it distributes and it treats the waste from your house and actually separates it and puts the fluids back into the ground. And it's sort of like life continues. But there are things that you have to do to maintain it. And if you're selling your house, it might serve you well to have a test done and or have an inspection done. Because it can be quite expensive to repair, and you want to have that repair done every once in a while. And I think one of the takeaways from that session was when you have your tank pumped, ask to see the bottom. Because too often people will pump out the tank and not pump it all out, and then you're going to have to pump it out again sooner than later. So you can get to know the system, understand what it is, and understand what to look for. And if you don't know, maybe get that inspection, but then be there for it and then ask about it and ask about the system. Let them tell you. The guys from CSI can tell you they educate a lot of buyers. They've educated me on it. I thought I understood every piece of it, but it's completely different than what I thought. I'm not completely different, but there's a lot of pieces and parts to it that you really got to understand. And I also discover a lot of things in houses where the septic isn't involved and they're, you know, maybe pumping out gray water. And gray water is not allowed in New Jersey. Had a homeowner tell me that they were grandfathered, but pollution cannot be grandfathered. And that's what it is when you're pumping your washing machine into a gray water tank because it's not being treated. It's just being dumped into the ground, basically. So CSI was here for that show. And then my first show was Chief Emery, Bob Emery from up in Clinton, old friend of mine, and we talked about fire things in the house. And one of the things we talked about was smoke alarms. And I know you hear it a lot, but you know, I was reminded the sweetest sound when I can remember being in the fire company. And as I've said before, I was in a fire company here in Raritan Township, and I can remember pulling up in front of a house and hearing crack and pop, and you see the smoke. And when you don't hear these things, it's eerily you remember. Yeah, you don't hear that smoke alarm going off. It's scary because now you're thinking there's people in the house and you don't know if they know it or they're out or they're not out or what's going on. This fire's got a leg up and you don't know. But when you pull up and you hear that annoying fire alarm going, it's relentless. But it's actually soothing sound to a fireman because he knows that the people in the building should have been alerted. It doesn't mean that they're not in danger, but it means that at least they had a fair warning. When you pull up and it's awful quiet, and it's almost like you can hear the crickets, and you don't hear that fire alarm, it does bring about a sense of urgency and a sense of, and then you may be putting firemen in danger because they're going to do the extra yard to make sure the house is clear. But so check your fire alarms. January 1st, the new rule when you sell your house is it has to have a 10-year battery. If you don't have 120 smoke detectors, which means if they're not hardwired to the house, they can't use a 9-volt battery. The 9-volt can only be a backup to an electric smoke detector. So if you only have battery-only ones, they have to be replaced by 10-year battery, lithium batteries. And that kind of takes the human aspect out of changing the batteries, see, because now the smoke detector is good for 10 years and you don't have to change the battery and we don't have to worry about it. That once you put it in, you just have to make sure somebody puts one in. Also, you won't deal with those annoying chirps in the middle of the night that you can't find which one's going off. Also, keep in mind that smoke detectors are typically only good for 10 years. They do fade after a while. They will work great after 10 years and one day they don't stop. But they do only good for 10 years, and carbon monoxide detectors, I believe, is 7. So check the dates. The new ones have stickers on the side, and you should write the date on it. So you can look up and see that when it was. You'd be surprised. Mine are older than 10 years, and I plan on replacing them soon. But I have not yet been. I didn't realize it till I saw the new law. So Bob, I think, brought back a lot of those memories and then told us about how to be safe in the house and have a plan. We did talk about having a plan and how my kids got out of the house when they had a situation. It turned out not to be a fire, but a carbon monoxide problem. But they still evacuated the house. They were very young, and they were trained, and they were out by the mailbox where they should have been, and very proud of them for that. But at the same time, you should train your kids. Don't think it's hokey, because it's not hokey when something happens, and it hopefully will never happen, so you don't have to worry about it. But that's where we're going. But now the home inspection process, you know, I do a lot. I look at a lot of houses. I did one a couple weeks ago, and it was a big house, and we found a little black, we call it mold-like material, because without a lab testing it, you can't diagnose, you can't call it mold. And mold is not the big scary thing that people think it is, but it has to be taken care of again. You've heard me say many times that water is the enemy of anybody's house. And that's how mold starts, is usually with water, because it'll find the organic material. It's three things that mold needs. It needs warmth, it needs heat, it needs water, and it needs an organic material to eat. So this happened to be on the paint on the cinder block. Some people will tell you that mold won't grow on cinder block because cinder block is very acidic, and it typically doesn't. I will never say never, because I bet you a dollar somewhere it's growing on that, but this was actually growing on the paint that was on the wall. And I called out to have it tested. And one reason I was extra cautious, it was in an area of the basement which was going to be made into a bedroom. And it turned out to be positive. And last week when the buyer, who's still buying the house, told me the remediation is going on and the seller's handling it, I think he said the cost was up to $48,000 to remediate it because it was quite widespread in the basement. So if you have it, take care of it. It's usually not that expensive. It's usually a lot easier to take care of. But this full basement had to be opened up, and the French drain had to be treated all the way around. So my advice this week is to check those things, especially in the spring when the moisture is there, and take care of them. Find out where the water is coming from. Make sure you can take steps to reduce it. If you don't know where it's coming from, and sometimes it's very difficult. I did a house in Parsippany a couple weeks ago, and the walls in the basement were like bleeding water, and we couldn't figure out why I went outside, and it was 6 inches of standing water against the side in the front of the house. And I look over, and the house next door is about 5 feet higher than this house, and it was a big ranch, and it had a big gutter, you know, a big rain gutter, and it all came towards the house, came down the downspout, and then the guy had put a PVC pipe in the ground and was running the water to within about 6 inches of the property line towards the lower house. So basically, every time it rained, that whole ranch house would collect the water, dump it down the downspout, and spill it into the cellar of the guy next door. Something they shouldn't do, because you should manage your own water. What that means is you cannot create more water than would normally flow to the next property. So that means you got to manage it. I mean, you can't dump it on somebody. It's going to flow that way anyway to some degree, but you can't collect it all, put it in a pipe, and then deliver it to the guy's house. That's not fair. And if you have a good neighbor, it usually is not a problem. And maybe you get together, run a pipe to the street or run a pipe to the back. In this case, they had wetlands behind them. They could run a pipe down the back. They could both connect into it and run the roof water out into the wetlands. And it was probably a better – it's rainwater, so it's a way to do it. And then it will dry up the basement. But understand that that basement had a very high level of water and humidity. And if it didn't have it, it would have it soon, as it would have mold growth because of that. And it's funny, you trace it to, you know, she would have never thought it was tracing it to the neighbor's roof, but that's where it was coming from, guys. So that's what we do. We try to do that. Yeah, another thing to do is make sure you guys, if you got a buried oil tank, consider taking it out. Buried oil tanks are ticking time bombs. They'll eventually all leak, but some of them don't leak for years, and some leak very quickly. I'll give you an example. I took three tanks out of the ground. I took mine out. I took my in-laws out, and I took my aunt and uncle across the street. And the houses were all built around the same time in 1976. Two of the tanks came out. They looked like new. The third tank came out, and it had pinholes in it, and it had a penetration of about 18 inches into the soil. What that means is the oil has probably penetrated the clay about 18 inches, which is, when you think about it, it's not that much, but it still took about $40,000 to $48,000, I think the cleanup was, and had to be cleaned up, and they had a hole in the backyard, and it got bigger, and it ate the, you know, you had to take apart the patio pavers and put it back together. But now that it's out of the ground and it's certified, that house is free and clear, and when they go to sell it someday, they'll be able to give them a certificate that says that the town inspected it, that the soil is clean, and the oil tank is no longer there. We all put in Roth tanks. Roth tanks are a double wall tank. It's a polyurethane tank that sits in a steel container. It looks like a milk carton on the side of the house if you see them. That's what they are. And it's like a double wall tank, and it has a great warranty. And that's what we put in, and hopefully you manage it that way. So, but pretending it's not there and pretending it's going to go away is only going to come back to haunt you. And if you don't have the money to take it out, because, I mean, at that point in time, they had a program from the state, but I understand the state still has a program, but they have no money to fund it, so it's not being done. Start saving and then plan on taking it out, because when you go to sell it, most realtors will not let you sell it, or will not let a buyer buy a house with a tank in the ground. Real quick, I'll give you another example. As I did a house in Randolph, and we get into the basement, and the house was a two-family house at one point, and I don't know whether they made them turn it back into a one-family, because I don't know if it was done legally, but it had two oil tanks outside, or signs of it. It had two copper, you know, leads coming through the walls, two boilers at one point, and it had a current boiler with the oil lines underneath the slab. When I found the lines coming through the wall, I tell the buyer that, you know, you may have an underground oil tank outside. And he's like, no, nah, the bank tells me they don't have tanks because they had a sweep done and they had a letter saying that the sweep was done and there was no tanks on the property. Well, when I opened the sump pump, I found oil sheen on top of the water in the sump, which tells me that there's oil in the ground somewhere. And you can see petroleum sheen on top of the water. You've all seen it. It looks like a rainbow and it's kind of shiny. And it was on top of the water in the cell. So what we did is they had the tank sweep done, and they found two tanks in the front yard. Now, the bank still denied it and said, well, I don't believe they're there. So then they dug them up. And last week they dug them up, and they had some leakage in both of them. So now they're looking at a cleanup. And now the buyer still wants to buy the house, but the bank is going to be forced to do some cleanup and do some remediation. And hopefully it hasn't extended too far, because if it's hit groundwater, the DEP is going to be involved, and it becomes a little bit more. Well, that's our recap for our first month and a half of our show. I hope you liked it. I appreciate it. If anybody's got any suggestions or topics they want covered, I'd be happy to, you know, get the people in here. I have some people lined up this month for autism, some experts. Somebody from New Jersey Autism is coming with their son, who I believe is 21 years old and with autism, which will be enjoyable to hear, because my son's nonverbal, and the spectrum we'll talk about in a minute after the break, but it's interesting. So, if you have a topic, send it to me, L McEntee, L-M-C-E-N-T-E-E, at hometeam.com, or feel free to call my office at 973-547-7748 with any suggestions, or post them on our Facebook screen. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm back. Hey, if you listen to that commercial, I don't normally hear the commercials because I'm usually trying to schedule my show here. But I didn't time that way. But that mental illness commercial is kind of quite funny that it, and the timing is kind of ironic in a sense that I'm going to talk a little about developmental disabilities right now. For those of you who don't know, I have a 27-year-old son. His name is Matthew, and he has a severe autism, and he's had it. We had him diagnosed at about 18 months old, which is very young. You can be diagnosed with autism. Usually you can be done around 2, but the average is around 4 years old. So, and it's funny. I have a story. It ends in here in Hunterdon County, actually, at the Hunterdon Medical Center. My wife and I had my son, my first son, Michael, was 18 months older than Matthew, and then Matthew was born. And in about 9-10 months old, we started noticing some things that Matthew didn't make eye contact. He didn't respond to his name. He'd sit and play with a truck and just spin the wheels, over and over again. When I gave him his bottle, when my wife stopped breastfeeding him, I started feeding him the bottle. And then as soon as the bottle was done, he didn't want to be held, which was quite different than my first son. So, and my mother and my wife's mother both called, said something's wrong. We thought he was deaf, and we thought there was something wrong, and we had his hearing tested. And we started going to doctors, and we started hearing the word autism. We went to some experts, and nobody would make the diagnosis because everybody was afraid at that young age that if you make that diagnosis and you're wrong, then you might be liable for stuff. And we finally, Michael's first, my oldest son's first doctor, pediatrician, was doctor named Abram Ketcher. Now, some of you in Hunterdon County are going to recognize that name because Abram Ketcher was a gentle old man pediatrician here, and he worked out of the Hunterdon Medical Center, and he had a handlebar mustache and small guy, carried a black bag just like the old doctor, and he was really old school doctor with a very modern look at things. And we had made an appointment with him to talk to him about my son Matthew, and we went in and we sat down, and this was in 1994, 1995, I guess, because it was just around when Jessica was born, my wife was pregnant with my daughter at the time. And And Dr. Abram Ketcher sat with us for about 30 minutes, and he talked to my wife for 30 minutes, basically. And he, at that point, tell you the truth, guys, I was on the road. I was selling a lot of things. I was all over North America. And my wife was running the show, and I can't believe she did it herself. She's pregnant with a third child and dragging Matthew around from doctor to doctor trying to get answers. And Dr. Abram Ketcher spent a half an hour, and by the way, he was late to our appointment by about an hour and a half, and that had got me mad, but he had come in, and he's the first doctor in my life that ever sat down and said, listen, I'm sorry about being late, but I had a child today with trying to commit suicide, and I got delayed. And, you know, I don't know if he's making it up or not, and it doesn't really matter, but the fact that he took the time to acknowledge the fact that he was an hour and a half late for my appointment, and we were sitting there, and if you know anything about autism, sitting for an hour and a half with a child that doesn't want to be there is a very difficult thing. So just the fact that he recognized that was rememberable, believe it or not. And it's 25 years later, and I still remember that. And then he talked to Lynn, and he turned to me, and he says, Larry, your son has autism. And clearly, I could be wrong. He said, if I'm wrong, clearly he's developmentally delayed, at least that. And what's the downside? He says, we get him into program. If he is only developmentally delayed, he catches up, and he'll go to school with his brother and his sister, who's not yet to be born, or the next child, because we didn't know it was going to be a girl. But anyway, so he said that, and then he said, but if I'm right, we'll get a jump on it. And that's the best thing we can do with autism is get a jump on it, get him in early intervention. And I looked at him, and I said, well, doc, and he says, well, if you don't like the diagnosis, he says, and I'm wrong, you can sue me. But he looked at me, he says, he'll probably be dead before he goes to court. But he says, clearly, we got to get you a jump on this. And I said, well, what pill do we give him? And, you know, up to that point, guys, I had heard the word autism, but it didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know anybody with autism. I didn't know any families with autism. I didn't know any individuals with autism. My definition of autism was a kid who sat in a corner of a room and banged his head into the wall. That's the only thing I had ever seen. I hadn't seen Rain Man yet. Rain Man hadn't come out yet. But even that is not my definition today. But So Abram Ketcher spent the time with us, and he said, Larry, we don't fix them. We're going to try to get a leg up and try to get some positive results, but there is no procedure, there is no blood test. And he also warned me that if I talked to any professionals, and they didn't spend their time talking to my wife, because autism is not a test. You can't give it a test. You can't get a blood test and get a diagnosis. It's observed. It's what they call the DSM-4, which it's an anecdotal. It's almost empirical. It's not empirical data. It's observation. It's behavior. And the definitions have changed over the years. And some people say that the rise in autism is due to that, but it's not totally due to that because the numbers are scary today. And he gave me one number. He gave me an 800 number to COSAC, which was COSAC was the Center for Outreach Services for the Autistic Community. It was the state organization for autism. Today it's called New Jersey Autism, or Autism New Jersey, excuse me. You can find them on the website at autismnewjersey.org. They still exist, and they had a parent conference once a year, and it was coming up, and Dr. Ketcher gave me the number and told me we should go to that conference. And my wife and I expected to go to this conference and see a couple, you know, maybe 30, 40 parents and that. We walked into the Hyatt Regency there in New Brunswick, and there had to be 250 parents, all with children with autism, and got knocked on our feet, off our feet. Spent the 3 days there and looking at each other like, we don't know what we're doing. Matthew was just 2 years old, and they're telling us we had to put him in a 40-hour-a-week program. We had to get LOVAS techniques. We had to do ABA. We had to get, you know, early intervention is a must, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were getting him speech a couple of times a week and trying to get speech out of him, and we didn't know what to do. We met a parent called Mindy Manning, and I'll never forget, she said, "Wake up!" And she told us we need to do more, and that was the start of it. So, I thank Dr. Abram Ketcher for really being honest with us, being truthful, and being accurate. I later served on the board of COSAC for 7 years, and it's a great organization, still exists today, head by Susan Buchanan. We're going to have the president of the board board on my last show this month on April 25th. And she has a son, I believe, Will, that hopefully is going to join her on the show. And he's going to college now. So we'll talk about autism and the spectrum disorder. It's grown to be a spectrum disorder, which means that it is a full range. There are people like Rain Man out there, but then there are also people like my son, who is a 27-year-old, but probably a more like a 5-year-old. A great kid, don't get me wrong, and in the definition of happiness, but something that is a little bit different than, say, Einstein. Some people say Einstein was had Asperger syndrome, and which is part of the autism spectrum disorder, but it's interesting. They all have a common sort of strangeness about them, the social cues that they don't pick up on, or they're oblivious to it, or they have no filter. Matthew is 100% genuine. There's not a bad bone in his body, but if he doesn't like something, he'll know it. And he hasn't spoken a word yet, but we're expecting his first words to be probably, leave me the hell alone. But that's funny. But today, the CDC puts the numbers at 1 in 59 children. When my son was diagnosed, it was like 1 in 600. Today, 1 in 59. In New Jersey, I think it's 1 in 34. Now, think about that. If kids were being abducted at a rate of 1 in 34, I mean, you know, somebody, if a kid, a 15-year-old runs away with her neighbor, it was all over the news last week. I mean, it was everywhere. And it's tragic. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, belittle that. But if 1 in 34 kids were running away and with people or being kidnapped, we'd be calling for the National Guard. So in New Jersey, we got 1 in 34 kids are being diagnosed with autism. Some of it's better diagnosis. Some of it's expanded diagnosis. But too much of it is our kids are being exposed to something. I'm not an anti-vaccination guy, but I'm also not a believer that there's nothing to do with vaccinations. I think there has to be more work. I'm not telling people not to vaccinate their children. So just because I question vaccinations, don't make me an anti-vaccination guy, because we can see what happens with measles and other diseases that have been in recession when we don't vaccinate. But why do we vaccinate? When do we vaccinate? How do we vaccinate? Do we test the kids? I mean, are their immune systems right when we give them all these vaccinations? At birth, they give them a cocktail of vaccinations. We vaccinate kids against things that maybe they're not exposed to. I don't know. We take these, know what they're doing, but Let me tell you, MMR with the thymiosin in it for years, why was it the thymiosin in there? And they tell me, and I'm no scientist, so don't quote me on this, but they tell me the thymiosin, which is basically mercury, was in it to improve the shelf life of the vaccination. Is that crazy or what? We're injecting our kids with mercury so they can have a longer shelf life on the vaccination? But I'm not convinced that it has nothing to do with it. I know the vaccinations affected Matthew, but Matthew showed signs of autism before then. But again, it's very difficult to prove, and I'm not saying that. But I also don't trust the government that told me that nicotine wasn't addicting or wasn't hurting you back in the 50s when people were smoking. So I think the government's in a position where if they ever made a connection with vaccinations and the rise in autism, the downfall could be people would flock away from vaccinations, and we could have a situation that may be possibly worse than having children with autism, the numbers that we have. So I'm not saying that, but I do say that we need more studies. We need more research. And the numbers at 1 in 34 or 1 in 54 nationally, I think it deserves the attention that it should get. When you think about what we're fighting over for border walls and for specialized funding and everything else, and then we think about what we spend on our kids. We're, you know, our whole lives are about for our kids, and we do that. And yet when it comes to these things, we turn a blind eye. As I said, when Matthew was diagnosed, I think in Mount Olive Township in the school system, there were about 9 kids with autism. Today, I think there's over 40 kids with the diagnosis of autism. That is crazy. And the numbers are very expensive, guys. The government puts the Social Security cost of a child with autism at like 10 times the cost of a normal child. Services, education. I know Matthew went to Eden Institute in Princeton. That's the next organization I wanted to talk about. Eden Institute in Princeton was we picked there because Matthew had some behaviors that were real extreme and dangerous in a sense to himself and to others. And Eden was willing to take him. And he traveled 50 miles each way every day, 12 months a year, to Eden Institute until he was 21 and graduated. And the local Board of Ed paid that fee. Some people will say, was it economically feasible? I question it. How much did they spend? Was it worth it? I don't know. I knew it was worth it for Matt because Matthew's behavior became manageable. I don't say normal, but I mean, I can go out to dinner with him. I can take him to ball games, but you got to be careful because, you know, he doesn't control. He makes a lot of noise. And, for instance, if you go to a play in New York, you can't go to a play with a normal play with everybody's there and they're paying $400 to see the, Lion King. And then your son starts lee in the middle of the play. Thank God that they have an organization in New York that has plays once a quarter for the kids with autism. And we're all in there, and it's, as we say, it's like autism soup in the sense that there's all families and nobody cares. The noise doesn't bother them, and the fact that the kids are watching the play, it's great. So that's what we look at for there, for the autism there. In Eden Institute, edenautism.org, it's down in Princeton. They have lifespan services. They offer the kids services from the time they're born. Matthew started there at 2 in the early intervention program and graduated at 21. He might still be there in the adult program, but, it was time to he couldn't make the travel from Mount Olive all that time. And when you graduate from school, the transportation becomes the issue. I'll be right back, and we'll wrap up with that. But here's a couple commercials. Thanks.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, I'm back. Let's talk about some good things about autism. I met some of the greatest people in the world through my autism experience, and it's funny because you wouldn't think that, but and I always think that I thank people that are involved in people with disabilities who choose to, because honestly, I mean, I'd probably run as far away as autism as I could get if I didn't have a child with autism, and but there've been plenty of people along the way. Gina and Larry in Princeton have been our lifesavers. My wife depends on them, and they have a son, Evan, who is good friends with Matt. I think they tolerate each other, but it's funny seeing the dynamics between the two of them and seeing them grow up, and a couple other people like Lisa I'm drawing a blank there, but there's great people out there, but there's also people that choose to be involved. Wendy Vanderleet is a speech therapist who's been with my son since he was 2 years old. Actually went to Disney World with us when they were younger. And then there's people, you know, who out of the blue come out of nowhere. You know, my wife used to make Matthew's food because Matthew's on a gluten-free, casein-free diet. And when he went on this when he was like 4 years old, everybody thought we were nuts. And today, almost every child who has autism, almost everybody, not all of them, are on a casein and a wheat-free diet, sometimes dairy too. And Matthew never had a solid stool till he was 10 years old. And imagine that, a 10-year-old, and he's never had a solid stool, and he wasn't potty trained. So you can imagine what my wife went through. It was terrible. And, you know, a 10-year-old wearing diapers and having accidents where, you know, you had to bring three changes of clothes everywhere you went. Not to mention Matthew could wet himself on command when he didn't want to be somewhere. And he, you know, and the behavior that he learned is that, you know, you wet yourself, hey, I get out of here. But Eden helped us through that. But there are people that come out of the woodwork that you never expect. There's one man in the supermarket, my son was acting up, and a woman made a comment about, you know, how bad behaved the kid was and how old he should behave better. And an older man turned to my wife and said, you know, he's special. Don't worry about it. And she remembers that. People go out of their way to help you, and I ask all of you to be a little bit more patient. You know, and I'm not blaming you, because to tell you the truth, I probably had less patience for people. If you were standing in line and somebody was working in a store and they were a little slow at the register, you got frustrated, like, come on, hurry up. But then you realize, you know, the guy's 25 years old and he's working in a supermarket. I mean, he may have an issue. And give him the break. Let him do his job, and understand that the whole world doesn't turn on your dime. We went to Disney World, and those of you know that Disney used to have a program, and again, it ended because people abused it. They had an autism pass. You'd go down there, and you had your letter from your doctor, and they would give you a convenience pass, which allowed you and five members of your family to go into separate entrances for most of the rides. It allowed you to skip the line in, basically. For instance, Test Track, you'd go up the exit, and then you'd go in the door, and they'd put you in the next car. Because Matthew wouldn't tolerate sitting in line. I mean, he would have a meltdown, and then we'd have to, you know, remove the family, and the other two would end up suffering. It's one of the best programs that we ever thought was possible. But, you know, people started getting letters from doctors and didn't have disabilities just so they could skip the line. I remember one time we were in line to ride Dumbo, and there was a woman in line making noises, you know, make complaints about my, because my wife was on the exit line going to ride Dumbo with my son, because none of us would ride Dumbo. And Matthew loved it. And she was making comments about it. And the cast member came over and said, excuse me, ma'am, but if you have a child, she has a child with special needs. If you do, please seize guest services and they'll help you out. And you think that would end it, but she didn't. So on the way out, my wife turned to the woman after she said something and said, listen, I'll switch your wait in line in a New York minute for his disability. So will you shut up? And the people around her clapped. And I thought to my wife, I said, that's pretty brilliant that you thought of that. She said, I had 32 circles to do it. She was riding Dumbo thinking about it. But we went to dinner, and she used to pack food and bring it with us. And the chef would come out and take the food and heat it up for us. And we packed it on freeze-dried. I mean, we actually had it on dry ice and had it shipped down FedEx because Matthew had a illness. And the chef come out, as I remember, his name was Javier. And he came out and he spent about 10, 15 minutes with my wife explaining that Disney's prepared for this. And if you let them know in advance, they will go out and get the food that you need and prepare it and serve it just like they do everybody else. And nobody needs to know. And they actually, they serve it just like that. And they charge you the same rate that they do everybody else. You know, in Disney, it's like $25 a head and it's all you can eat. And he did that. And he put my wife at such ease. And my mother-in-law, I think, was in tears. And I took the time to write Michael Eisner at the time, and I wrote him a letter, and I got a letter back from him, and it was signed by Michael Eisner, but probably some secretary somewhere. But it had a picture of Mickey, and it was in gold writing. It said, to my best friend Matt, and the letter explained how they could build the biggest parks in the world, and they can be the biggest success, but without the cast interaction with the people and their understanding and the training, the experience is worthless. And I think that everybody should be that way, and we should be more aware of other people's shortcomings. And I know I try to do it. I'm not perfect, but I do ask you to be patient out there and to look around and to see these individuals, because there are many of them. The numbers are staggering, guys. Group homes are over. We have a waiting list in the state of New Jersey for group homes for these guys. That's the next subject. Is Matthew's in a group home. He's in a group home run by Avid Community Services. They're up in Denville, New Jersey, and they run a couple dozen group homes. And for those of you who don't know what a group home is, it's a home that it's where these guys can live, and they live independently, but they have staff that help them. In Matthew's house, they have four bedrooms. Right now, they have three young men that live there. Medicaid now makes it they only want four people in the house because they want to make it not institutionalized, but it makes it very economically difficult to run these homes because you have overhead with it, and then you only have four individuals living there instead of at some points you had six or eight people living there. It's a great program for them. It actually takes the cost of living down, and Matthew's Social Security helps pay for it. And we're lucky in New Jersey that we have these services. In some states, they don't have much of it at all. In New Jersey, we have some. But, Matthew was on the waiting list for many years, and, it was crazy. But he's been in there 2 years, and he's shown the maturity. And he loves to come home, loves to go back, and throws me out of the house there. And sometimes when I go there, I'm unannounced, he'll walk me to the front door, open the front door, and kick me out. So it's Autism Awareness Month. It's, kind of hokey in a sense, but it's just to draw your attention to autism and what it is out there and to look at the numbers in the CDC. If you have questions about diagnosis, go to the CDC website, cdc.gov, and search for autism spectrum disorder. It's ASD. It'll give you the numbers, the prevalence. It'll give you some simple tests or some simple things to look at, and it also gives you a number of researchers. Some of the other ones I gave you was autismnewjersey.org, one of the best parent organization knowledge, information services. When we started, again, that was COSAC, and there was no internet, so we didn't have that to find information. It was all word of mouth and by parent to parent and from organizations like this and parent support groups. Today, the internet has opened up the world to a lot of things. Eden Autism Services at edenautism.org in Princeton. Avid Community Services, specialhomesnewjersey.org. That's their old name, but it's still the website. I think if you search for AVID, which is AVIDD. Another organization throughout the state is the ARC. The Morris ARC, I'm a member. I'm on the board of directors of the Morris ARC, and we have 20-plus group homes and dozens of assisted apartments throughout the county. But there's also an ARC in Warren. There's an ARC in Hunterdon. I think I'm going to have the director from Hunterdon ARC on my program this month, hopefully, trying to work out the schedule. But they serve all individuals with developmental disabilities, and they have day programs and residential programs. Day program is where they go during the day. They go to work. Matthew goes to work up in Abilities in Hackettstown, and he spends his day there, and they train him, and they do vocational. They do sorting for M&M Mars up there. So there's a lot of neat things. So, autism, just don't think it's like Rain Man. I mean, I wish Matthew could count cards because we'd spend our life in Vegas or Atlantic City making a living. But Matthew can't count cards, but he does love to go to the ball games. And you see us at the minor league baseball games. We love the Patriots and the Miners up there in Sussex County and the Somerset Patriots down here in Jersey. And they treat me well there, too. Matthew loves it. He doesn't like when we go there and we don't get the same seats, though. I mean, last time I went there, he tried to throw somebody out of the seat that he was in because it was his seat. But sometimes that can be a challenge, but it's a good time. We're going to wrap up now. I'm seeing my timer go off there. It went faster than I thought it would, to tell you the truth, because I had hoped for a guest today, but it didn't work out. But hope you got something out of my home team. Remember, your house is your center of your universe. It's where the family meets. It's where the family lives. And it's part of your family, so take care of it. Do the observation. Learn about the systems. Ask the questions. And know what to do to be maintained. It's the biggest investment you'll make in your life, and it could save you over the years because the equity in it could become valuable to you. You might need it. I know my father bought a house for $19,000, and when he passed away, he still owed $120,000 on it. But he raised five kids, and most of us had college educations, and took care of us. And he lived to be 80, so I guess the house served him well. And it served as the center of the family for many years. So take care of your house, and whether you're renting it or you're buying it or whatever, but do that. And the home team's out here to help you. So if you have any questions, again, you can reach me at L McEntee. That's LMCENTEE at hometeam.com or at 973-547-7748. Again, it's Autism Awareness Month, guys, so put the blue light on, support autism, find an organization near you, and we'll look forward to next week, and have a great weekend. Thanks.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
In March, 196,000 jobs were created, the Department of Labor announced on Friday. The unemployment rate held steady at 3.8%. Financial advisor John Lakefield reacts to those numbers on Fox Business.
I think it was a terrific number. I agree with John and Mike and what Dagan are talking about. This is not a precursor to a recession. I think there's definitely a global slowdown going on, and I think there's probably a slowdown in the United States going on. But when you have a reversion to the mean of jobs numbers, we've had this for the last 8 years straight almost, you see that continuing. This is not a precursor. It certainly doesn't appear to a recession.
President Trump is in Calexico, California, taking part in a border security roundtable. Before leaving for that roundtable, the president says he's holding off on his threat to close the southern border because Mexico is stepping up, but also says,
I never changed my mind at all. I may shut it down at some point.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
The best sleep of my life has been since I got a MyPillow and since I got my Giza Dream sheets. I have to tell you, I've slept in some great hotels in my time, but nothing like these Giza Dreams sheets. Now go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams Sheet Special. You'll find out all about them, and use my promo code USA to get 30% off and free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams Sheet Special, use my promo code USA.
A federal jury has convicted a Florida healthcare executive in a $1 billion Medicare fraud scheme. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
Jurors have convicted 50-year-old Philip Esfermis on 20 criminal counts. The verdict coming in on Friday morning after 4 days of deliberation.